Welcome to American Indian and Alaskan Native Living, a program designed to educate and inspire listeners throughout Indian country. American Indian and Alaskan Native Living is hosted by Dr. David DeRose, a board-certified specialist in both internal medicine and preventive medicine. Dr. DeRose has a wide range of experience with Native health issues, and he is here today to help you learn more about your health. Here is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. Today we're jumping into a very fascinating topic. I know it's fascinating because you folks, as our listeners, have given us feedback about a great guest that we've had on the show in the past. Before we introduce him, I want to let you know that in the virtual studio today with me is Dr. Joni Bakavoy. Joni, it's great to have you with us.
Thank you. My honor to be here.
Joni, for regular listeners, they know that you've come on board as the associate producer of the show and often joining me as co-host. For those who are learning about you for the first time, tell us a bit about yourself.
Sure. Be my honor to. So I have a background as a nurse, and also I have my master's and doctorate in public health. But most of my career was spent in healthcare, doing data things, healthcare improvement and research. But since the last probably about 6-7 years, I have been just focused on prevention. And so I'm working with tribes. My own tribe is Cherokee Nation, and working with my own tribe, working through my church, also working through other means with communities, working on things like diabetes and all kind of preventive type thing, preventive care type things.
It's just great to have you on the team, Joni, and wonderful to have you joining me as we introduce Ron Price. Ron, it is so good to have you back with us on American Indian and Alaska Native Living.
David, it's a thrill. I've always enjoyed our visits before. I'm confident I'll enjoy this one as well.
Well, Ron, folks who know you, they realize that you're an author, you're a speaker. Some folks, when they introduce you as a humorist. Others know you as a conflict coach. For those who are just hearing about you for the first time, why do you have all these different designations?
Because roses are red, violets are blue, I'm schizophrenic, and so am I.
Sorry. You know what? Life is meant to be enjoyed. I just believe that. And I also believe we don't laugh enough. There's a whole lot more to unpack there, maybe, but we don't laugh enough. So it's my goal in life, one of my goals, is to help people laugh more. Laughter is said to be a good medicine, and that's proven out by modern-day research. In fact, there was a guy, Norman Cousins, wrote a book, Anatomy of an Illness. He had an incurable disease, endolosing spondylosis. I think I'm close.
Maybe we'll go with ankylosing spondylitis. That might
maybe we'll do
for
that
for a medical professional.
I'm trying to tell a doctor what a disease is. Thank you.
So that's fine. We got it. But it's a crippling disease of the spine, especially.
Yeah, it turns to cement where you can't move, is my understanding. And the doctors gave him no hope. And he said, you know what? Laughter's a good medicine. I'm going to laugh my way back to health. And he did other protocols as well, but he did. He resumed normal life. So Anatomy of an Illness, listen to your doctor. Don't just say, I'm going to laugh and everything's going to be fine. But laughter's a key component of life. I'm convinced of that.
Appreciate the background. So Joni, I know you're just getting acquainted with Ron, so you've gotten a little insight into the humorist angle. But were you aware of Ron's writing career, his work as a conflict mediator, or is this new to you?
So I hate to say this, but he is new to me. But it was very interesting going online and seeing all the things that he's done and listen to some of his YouTube videos, playing nice in the sandbox. And anyway, I'm very impressed with the work he's done.
Thank you, Joni. I appreciate hearing that.
So Ron, help us understand this, the conflict coach bit. This is not just some title you tacked on the end of your name, but you actually have vast experience in conflict resolution. Give us a little insight into that.
1987, I was a probation parole officer. I was happy with what I was doing. I enjoyed it. It was fulfilling. I wasn't looking for anything else, but one day I happened to be looking at the want ads. It wasn't my practice, but this particular day I looked at the want ads, and one ad just jumped out at me. I don't know how to describe it. I locked in on that the court, my local district court, was starting a program called custody mediation. I had no idea what that was, but I had gone through a divorce by this time, probably 10 years earlier, and I was just fascinated. I had to find out what this was. And what I found out was that if a couple is getting divorced and they have children,
it makes zero sense to go to the judge and say, well, judge, what should we do with the children? That makes no sense at all.
Mm.
So what makes sense is for the parents to figure that out. Well, if you get a divorce, you're probably not on the best of speaking terms. And cooperating together is not a skill set that you have at that moment.
Mm.
So they were ordered into mediation with me or others doing the same work, where we help them develop a parenting plan. So what I just told you, David, is for 29 years, I put myself between people who didn't like each other very much at all. And if that doesn't tell you I'm a sick man, I don't know what will. But you know, it was always a great joy when people would leave my office less bitter, less hostile, less adversarial than they came into my office. They gave their kids a chance to enjoy a good relationship with both of them. And over the years, I've gone to training after training after training. I think I'm almost in you folks' league in terms that I love to learn. I love to go to trainings. And I've amassed 700 hours, I think, of just workshops and conferences and stuff, learning how to help people prevent conflict when possible, resolve conflict when necessary.
Wow, this is tremendous. Joni, you and I deal a lot in a variety of contexts. We're working a lot with tribes. We're working, as you mentioned in your case, with faith communities and families. You know, Ron has mentioned this. All of these entities, whether it's a faith community, a tribe, whether it's a family, all of these places, you should say, hey, it's in everybody's interest to get along. But Dr. Bhakavoy, you and I know that that's not often the case. So we're wanting in this show to focus on relationship health. And I know as you've been researching some of the work that Ron has done, you've come up with some questions, some talking points, some things you'd like to know from Ron for the benefit of our listeners about relationship health. Where do you think we should start this dialogue, Joni?
Well, I think the first thing I would like to ask is, where do you start when you have a conflict? Where do you start? And how do you start that initial conversation? Where do you start?
Boy, those were two or three questions at once, Joni. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You know, let me just share a couple of points. One, this is something I know about both of you and everybody else who's listening to us. True or false, you want to be understood by the important people in your life.
True.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. Well, how about this, true or false? The important people in your life want to be understood by you.
True.
No question.
Thank you. So many conflicts happen because each person is trying to be understood at the same time. So they talk in what I've heard referred to as the shoot and reload method of communication. And, you know, I thank you for laughing because it's funny and yet it's not. But that's when we fire off what we want to say. And being civil and courteous and polite, we'll pause once in a while to let the other babble on about something. But we're not listening. We're reloading so that we can fire off again if and when they ever shut up. Ooh, can I use that word on public radio? You know what I'm saying, though? We so want to be understood. So there's a program called the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. I used to facilitate that for my local college. Excellent program. I speak very highly of it. In fact, I write about it in some of my books. Habit number 5, seek first to understand, then to be understood. Seek first to understand where the other person is coming from. You have a right to be understood, no question, but so do they. And it's in your best interest. You're not just being nice and polite. It's in your best interest to understand them. Because once you do that, you might find out you don't even have a conflict at all. You're talking two different elements or focusing on two different components of a situation that you're not in conflict at all. You just didn't understand that. Can I give you a classic example? Have we got time to give a classic example?
Yes.
All right. I was called to do a mediation between an employer, a manager of a nonprofit, and a key employee who had been going round and round and round for months over money. The key employee said, I want to raise. The manager said, no. And again, every so often, I want to raise. No, I want to raise. No, I want to raise. No, this has been going on. It's starting to get old and starting to get a little testy. So I got called by the chairman of the board. Hey, would you please come mediate? And early into the mediation, I turned to the key employee and I asked her a very stupid question. I think a silly question, maybe. I said, why do you want to raise? Now, again, to me, what kind of question is that? Anybody in the workforce who wouldn't want to be paid more for the work that they're doing? Why do you want to raise? But what she told us was that she had been working at this establishment far longer than most of her coworkers. She had more education than most of her coworkers. She had more experience than most of her coworkers. She wasn't being paid much more than her coworkers. And once the manager understood that, where she was really coming from, he said, I understand you now, but I still can't give you a raise. He said, but what I can do is I can reduce your work week by 5 hours a week and still pay you the same amount of money. Mm. She got a raise, didn't she? We'd have to do the arithmetic. We'd have to know how much was she making divided by 40, then divided by 35. But it gave her that gap. It gave her that prestige. It gave her that recognition that she was a more valuable employee than her coworkers. And that's what she was after all along. It was never about the money. Isn't that something? And you know what? I mean, I'll take some credit for that. I gave them the opportunity to resolve, but if you understand the other, a lot of conflicts can go away. Another tip that I want to throw in is we have a part of our brain that thinks, and I'll let you doctor type people overstate me if I say something wrong here, but the frontal lobe or the prefrontal cortex is the command center of the brain. It's the seat of logic and reason and rationale and thought. And we do life well when we function from the frontal lobe. We also have, among other lobes, the, what is it called? The deep limbic system or the amygdala, which I've been told is the emotional center of the brain. If you're happy, you're sad, you're frustrated, you're excited. And what can happen to us as human beings is we can get so upset about something, so agitated, so irritated, but we will literally shut down the thinking brain, get smack dab in that emotional brain. And when that happens, boy, good luck. When it happens behind the wheel of a car, what do we call it? Two words.
Road rage.
Thank you. Yeah. Intelligent people who they're driving down the road, minding their own business, all of a sudden somebody cuts them off or whatever, they snap and they ram them off the road or they get out of a car and fight them or, you know, whatever. How thinking smart are those behaviors?
Not very.
Not at all. Yeah. They're not. They have left the thinking brain and gotten into the emotional brain. If you're in a conflict with another person, Joni, back to your question, how do they start? One or both are in that emotional brain. They're not thinking properly at the moment. They engage with each other. And at those times, little meaningless situations can blow up into World War 7522. I don't know why I'm laughing here. It's not funny. But you know what I'm saying? So we have ways that we can get back into the thinking brain and make better decisions. So those are a couple of quick answers to your question. Did I give you what you were asking for?
You absolutely did. Thank you so much, Ron. I appreciate that.
You're very welcome.
And I have one other follow-up question specifically to that, and it has to do with the individual. So, you know, we're talking about two people kind of interacting with each other, but what are some things that that individual can do to put themselves in a mindset where they're less offended or less ready to snap, less ready to have road rage, less ready to, you know, react?
All right.
I love the question, Joni, and we definitely want to get to it, but we are slipping out of time in this segment of the show. So I'm going to ask Ron to hold your answer. Joni, we're going to give you a chance to share that question again as we come back. But you're listening to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm the host, Dr. David DeRose. My co-host, Dr. Joni Bakavoy, is joining me today along with Ron Price. He is known as the conflict coach. We're going to be talking a little bit more, not just about his insights into relationship health, so vital in your home, your community, the tribe, faith, place of worship, you name it. We need to be getting along better. And like we've been talking about on the road, even all of that's coming up in our next segment. We're going to also tell you how you can tap into Ron's wisdom besides just listening to the show. He's the author of books. He's got online courses. All of that is coming up in our next segment of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. DeRose. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please reach out to us on the web at AIANL.org. That stands for American Indian Alaska Native Living. Again, AIANL.org. Or you can call us at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
We are strong, we are resilient, and we will get through this together. But these are stressful times, and it's important to also practice good self-care. It's normal to feel overwhelmed, anxious, or afraid, but there is hope. Reach out to someone, connect with your friends, stay in touch with your community, and know that you are not alone. Learn more at wearebroadcasters.com/hope. Furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When Jim died, I wondered if I would be able to keep the farm. Then I heard about the USDA's loan program for socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers. It's for women and minorities who may be having trouble getting credit. Once I was approved, the USDA's Farm Service Agency helped me get the credit I needed. Now I don't have to sell, and I can pass the farm down to my kids the way Jim's dad passed it down to him. I know he'd like that.
Contact your local USDA service center or visit www.fsa.usda.gov.
Social Security is with you through life's journey from birth to retirement. As your life changes year to year, so do your needs. For over 80 years, Social Security has helped to meet your needs and is committed to improving access to the services that make a difference in your life. Today, you can verify your earnings, estimate your future benefits, apply for retirement, manage your benefits, and even change your address, all from the comfort of your home. Social Security's online services help put you in control with secure access to your information anytime, anywhere, allowing you to spend more time with family, friends, or simply just enjoying the day. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow. See what you can do online at socialsecurity.gov.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose. We are back with Ron Price, the conflict coach, and with Dr. Joni Bakavoy. Joni, we were speaking about one of these most intensive situations, road rage, and that provoked some interesting processing on your part that you threw back at Ron. For those who are just joining us, tell us a little bit about how that interaction brought some thoughts to your mind that have some practical implications for all relationships.
So what it made me think of is, are there things about me personally, my inner thoughts, something about maybe not getting enough rest? Is there something that I'm doing that's setting up myself to be more reactive? And so I was asking Ron if there are certain things that I can do to prevent me being so reactive.
Okay. And before I answer that, Joni, I need to check something before I answer. You are a human being. Can I assume that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Because we're so different, Joni, in so many ways, but we're so similar in other ways. And here's one way. And many people know Bible verses, many people don't, but everyone knows this verse, whether you know the Bible or not. You shall love your neighbor, what's the rest of it?
As yourself.
Yeah, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, for people who do follow the Bible, that's something they're supposed to do. But Joni, it's also a prophecy. You will love your neighbor as you love yourself. And I'm going to tell you something that I can confess to, and I'm hunching you'll be willing to as well. We don't always love ourselves very well. We often listen to what's called the critical inner voice. It's a term coined by Dr. Robert Firestone and his daughter, Dr. Lisa Firestone. And Joni, from the time we were young and we realized that we have an inner voice in our mind, that voice has put us down. It said, you're not this enough, you're not that enough, you're too much this, you're too much that. It's been a negative voice. And so we can get down on ourselves and not love ourselves very much, not be at peace with ourselves very often. And when that happens and we engage with another human being who's listening to the critical, again, I'm laughing. It's not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing, but do you hear what I'm saying?
I gotcha.
You hear what I'm saying? It's rife for conflict. So my answer to your question is it's huge to work on taming down that negative voice in your mind and realizing, you know what? No, I'm not perfect, but I don't have to be. Dr. Brené Brown has made a career for herself encouraging us to embrace vulnerability. Her book, Daring Greatly, and she has others as well. But, you know, we go through life with this mask, trying to pretend that we've got it all together. We're not fooling anybody. You know what I'm saying? And it's a heavy burden to bear. Embrace your vulnerability. Be okay with the fact that you're not perfect because none of us are. None of us expect you to be. And if you can embrace your vulnerability, it makes it easier for you to accept others' vulnerability and overlook when they do something human. We don't have to react. It's going to bring a whole lot more peace and a whole lot less conflict. What say you?
I completely agree. I appreciate your statements because I can relate in so much of what I do. You want to be perfect. You want everything to come across correctly. And that critical inner voice is there. And when I think about it, it's been there a long time. So I appreciate that.
And if I may, I'll get myself in trouble here. I think one gender is more susceptible to that than others. I won't out you and tell you which gender that is. But seriously, I think men can just get busy and stuff and put that voice aside. Bill and Pam Farrell wrote the book, Men Are Like Waffles, Women Are Like Spaghetti. And again, we can get into trouble when we get into stereotypes. Not all women are identical. Not all men are identical. But there are similarities that pertain to the male of the species and similarities that pertain to the female. And there are differences. That's fine. But again, that's another source of conflict, by the way, though. If a man is expecting a woman to react to a situation the way another man would, that's foolhardy. And same in reverse. Women, you need to realize that men think differently. But again, all of us are subject to that negative inner voice, and we've just got to step back and realize, you know what? I'm not perfect. I don't have to be. I got a lot of good qualities. Don't go too far with that. Don't go to be, oh, well, I'm wonderful, and I'm the best there is. You know, don't get egotistical on us. But if you're at peace with yourself, you're more likely going to be at peace with others. If you love yourself in an accepting way, you're going to be more loving and accepting of others. That just makes sense to me.
Yeah, it does. It does. I really appreciate that. Thanks so much for the insights. I could go on this part, but I wanted to learn a little bit more about some of your acronyms. So you have CPR and then you have Play Nice. So I was wondering if you could give us some background on that and kind of what that means.
I had a friend of mine come up to me one time. This is in 2016 or earlier. He said, Ron, you teach CPR. I said, I do? He said, yeah, conflict prevention and resolution. I gave him the biggest hug. I said, Bob, I love you. And I've been using that ever since. CPR, we think of in terms of life restoration and helping people and so forth. CPR, conflict prevention and resolution. You are never going to hear me say the word conflict avoidance for two reasons. Number one, you can't do it. Conflict will find you. You can't avoid it. And secondly, it's analogous to a symptom. You have a pain in your side and you try to ignore it or avoid doing something about it. Well, chances are sometime down the road, you're going to realize, oh, I probably should have done something about that. So don't try to avoid conflict. Prevent it from happening in the first place. And that's what the PLAY acronym is all about. I've been privileged to write three books, Play Nice in Your Sandbox at Work, Play Nice in Your Sandbox at Home, and Play Nice in Your Sandbox at Church. And in each book, the play is a four-step model to prevent conflict from happening. The nice is a four-step model to resolve conflict. And then in the other chapters, I give other tips to how to do that in a workplace setting, a home setting, or a church setting. So just for example, the play in the first book, Play Nice in Your Sandbox at Work, is push the pause button. Push the pause button. And I tell a story. I'll shorten it for you. I went to Walmart on Christmas Eve one year. Not a wise thing to do. It was the middle of the day. And it's funny in a way, but on the way, I thought, you know, I bet most people have already done their Christmas shopping. I bet Walmart won't be too crowded right about now. Yeah, right. I have never seen a parking lot more full of cars. Before I left the vehicle, I turned it off and I sat there and I said, all right, you're about to go into a building with hundreds, if not thousands, of idiots, jerks, maniacs, people all stressed out and frazzled. You know what I'm talking about. I said, and you can join them if you wish, or you can choose your attitude. You can choose that no matter what they do, you're going to keep your cool. And again, long story short, it turned out to be a pleasant experience. I don't ever want to go to Walmart on Christmas Eve ever again, don't get me wrong. But you know what? If you go to a Christmas dinner, Thanksgiving dinner, some kind of tribal gathering where you know there are people there that can get under your skin or on your nerves, you better prepare in advance. You know what? I don't care what they do. I'm going to keep my cool. That's push the pause button. It's a key concept. And back to an earlier question, Joni, if you know a situation could get out of hand, if you have a chance to prepare in advance, that's excellent. You don't always have that opportunity. So we have other tactics for that.
So give us that CPR acronym again.
Conflict prevention and resolution.
So we're talking conflict prevention right now.
That's the play portion of my books, yes.
Okay, we're tracking.
Yep.
So Joni's got you on a good trajectory here, so don't let me derail the train.
So then the L, is that laugh?
You know, it should be. I'm going to rewrite my book, Joni. Thank you. I'm sure I talk about laughter somewhere in the books. I'm not figuring out where. But no, the L in the At workbook, interesting, though, by the way, I think it's in the At church book. It's love yourself as you love your neighbor, because we're usually better at loving our neighbor than we are loving ourselves, as we were talking about just a few moments ago. But in the At workbook, now I want to go to the At home book. It's look for the good. Look for the good. I do relationship coaching. I'm not a counselor. I have a master's in counseling, but I don't practice counseling. I do coaching and relationship education. And I often ask people, all right, if I were to ask you to write down 5 to 10 negatives about your spouse, how long would it take you? Oh, it wouldn't take me long. And it wouldn't.
You'll do that fast.
They could do that real fast. How long would it take you to write down 5 to 10 positives about your spouse? Oh, I hadn't thought about that. Because when they come to me, their relationship is in trouble. It's strained. And so I'll often do that. You know what? Take a few moments now. I want you to write down 5 to 10 positive qualities. I want you to look for the good in your mate. Go. And I'll make them do it. And then I'll have them share it with each other. If we're looking for the good, we're more likely going to find it. If we're looking for the bad, we'll find that as well.
So before we step away, Ron, we want to make sure, I promise folks, that we'd let them know how they could track you down, because there's folks needing conflict insights. Maybe they want to pick up a book. Is there a single place that people can visit?
My easiest one, David, and thank you for that, is ronprice.com. My email is ron@ronprice.com. My website is ronprice.com, and I have books there, my courses and different things. I suggest people email me, let's talk, because I can offer them less expensively directly. They're available on Amazon. The books are ron@ronprice.com or the website ronprice.com.
Now, when I hear Ron Price, I'm thinking R-O-N-P-R-I-C-E. It's really that easy?
That's because you're the brilliant man that you are, David DeRose. It's just that simple. I have longer, more complicated websites and emails, but that's the simplest one.
Okay, so I think we've all got ronprice.com. Ron is a master's level counselor. He's a conflict coach, author, speaker, and humorist, if you haven't picked up on that already. Dr. Joni Bakovoy is my co-host. We're all hanging out for the next half hour. I encourage you to do the same. A lot more wisdom coming up. We've got to step away just briefly. Stay tuned, a lot more. We'll be right back.
American Indian and Alaskan Native Living will continue in a moment. If you have questions or comments about today's pre-recorded broadcast, please contact us on the web at aianl.org or call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673.
A message from the National Police Association. It used to be that any able-bodied person would offer to assist a police officer in danger. Now, passersby are more likely to take a video. There's a better use for your phone when an officer's in trouble. Call 911. Tell the operator where you are and what you see. Then, start your video to provide evidence later. To learn more about how you can assist law enforcement, visit nationalpolice.org. That's nationalpolice.org.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see. Depression won't show up on an eye chart, and you can't measure it on your bathroom scale. Sorting out a mental health concern is not something to attempt on your own. You won't find a bipolar disorder by looking at a thermometer. Like many other health conditions, help for mental illness takes professional diagnosis and treatment. Anxiety won't just go away under a stick-on bandage. So the sooner you seek treatment, the better. If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. Find out what to do. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support. That's samhsa.gov/support.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back to American Indian and Alaska Native Living. We're in the second half of today's edition of the broadcast, and we're speaking with Ron Price. He is known as the conflict coach. Not that there aren't more than one around, but I've actually been in business settings where, without any of my intervention, they've got a special speaker, and it's none other than Ron Price. So Ron is known in circles throughout the country and beyond. He is our guest. And when I say our, it's very literally not just the guest of our radio broadcast, but also my co-host, Dr. Joni Bakavoy, in the studio with me. Joni, I know, as you mentioned at the top of the hour, you're just getting acquainted with Ron and his work. Do you know that one place to visit if you want to get more information about Ron and his services? Did you pick up on that in our last segment?
I did, and it's pretty simple. It's just ronprice.com, ronprice.com.
So we're all on the same page, huh, Ron?
We are. Hopefully it's a good page to be on.
Okay, sounds good to me. Joni, you, as you did some prep work on the show today, you became pretty encouraged by some of the simple ways that Ron has of remembering some of the important relationship secrets. We talked about CPR. And Joni, have you got that one down in your toolbox?
I do. Conflict, prevention, and resolution.
Ron, has she got it?
He's got it.
Okay.
Pro.
And then, Joni, there was another acronym or mnemonic memory device that really captured your attention. What was that one?
It's the play nice. He has all these different types of groups that he has these different play nice strategies. So we were on the P and the L, and now I'm really curious what the A is. And by the way, I love the word play because it made me feel like, oh, this is going to be fun. Anyway, so what is A?
Thank you. And thank you for going there, because as David was saying, the acronyms, A is the perfect one to talk about an acronym. It's Assume Good Intent, AGI. Now, people automatically go, oh, I thought we weren't supposed to assume. I give you permission in this case. And when I'm teaching this concept in the public setting, I'll do this. I'll ask people to answer honestly. If this is true, I want you to raise your hand. Have you ever hurt, frustrated, disappointed, or offended another human being when you really didn't mean to? If that's true, raise your hand. And of course, every hand shoots up. And I whimsically say, what took you so long? We have all done that. But then I ask this, what's the chance then if somebody is just hurt, frustrated, disappointed, or offended you? Maybe they didn't mean to. Maybe it was inadvertent, just as we just admitted we have done. But if we react, we created the conflict. It's the second person that creates the conflict. The first person does whatever they do for whatever reason. probably because they're not at their best at that moment. You know what I'm saying? We're all hurting in various areas of our lives. And so we might say something that we probably shouldn't have said that, or we do something that we probably shouldn't have done. But if the second person jumps on that, the conflict is on. So if you can assume good intent, if you can pause and talk to yourself, say, well, that didn't feel very good. I wonder what's going on with them. You're probably going to come up with, you know, I know his kid's been in some trouble lately, and I know that's causing him a lot of stress. Or I know her mom's been real sick lately. I'm not saying make excuses for bad behavior. I hope I would never say that. But again, life is hard. Life is hard. People, oh man, I tried to stop myself and I couldn't. People often ask me, how you doing? Like they do. They ask you, how you doing? And you say, fine.
Oh, yeah.
Liars. What I'll often say is, well, I think I'm doing okay. Why? Have you heard something? Or on a more serious note, I'll say Charles Dickens. It's the best of times, it's the worst of times. And take out the superlatives, take out best and worst. But folks, that's true for every one of us. Some parts of my life right now are going very well. They don't need any attention, any adjustment. It's fine. There are some parts of my life right now that I wouldn't mind a boost or a redirection in a better direction. And I know that's true for you. I know that's true for everyone in our listening audience. So when somebody does say something, somebody that you know values you, appreciates you, respects you, if they say something out of character, don't just react. Respond and say, whoa, that's not like you. Is everything okay? Or one guy I know says, Well, that sounded like an attack. Is that how you meant it? If we can respond rather than react, we can prevent conflict from happening. If we react, we created the conflict, which then we'll have to go to the nice portion to figure out how to resolve it. Much better to prevent it in the first place. AGI, assume good intent.
Wow, I love that. I can relate to that. In fact, I can think of a time at work where I had someone who was just not very nice at all. And then I later found out that she was going through a divorce. And we ended up become really good friends. But there was a while where I wasn't always assuming the best. And that's just such a great reminder. So thank you.
And by the way, you may be wrong. There may be some people who are out to get you for whatever reason. That's a whole different category. So I'm just saying your first reaction, first response should be, yeah, maybe they didn't mean it. Let me explore that a little bit more before I take offense and make it ugly. If they are out to get you, that's a whole different matter, but we'll deal with another way.
So we're talking about playing nice. Joni, we're tracking. Are you taking notes, Joni, for the benefit of our listeners? The P stood for what?
Pause.
Okay. And the L was what?
That was the look for the good.
Okay. And the A now?
Assume good intent.
So she scored 100%, Ron?
She did. But let me tell you something real quick. I was just doing this presentation and somebody said, you know, maybe better than assume, you should anticipate good intent.
Oh, I love that.
You know what? I may have to rewrite my book. Because again, assuming, we're always taught, don't assume anything, but anticipate good intent. Anticipate, especially if it's a loved one, a family member, a friend, a coworker, they're probably not out to get you. So anticipate good intent. It's going to help you to respond in a like manner rather than react in an ugly manner. Anticipate good intent. I'm gonna have to play with that and maybe change my whole approach to the subject.
I love that because that really gets at your mindset. So I appreciate that. I like that.
And Joni, thank you. The mindset, again, as we talked earlier, staying in your thinking brain rather than giving rise to that emotional brain. You get into that emotional brain, I mean, the fight's probably on. You stay composed, stay in your thinking, rational brain, more likely going to say the right thing, do the right thing.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you. So now we have why. The why on play. What is the why?
Well, it depends on what book we're in. Because again, in each book, it's a different acronym. The play is a different okay. P, it's a different L, a different A, and a different Y. Except for this one. There are just not a lot of words in the English language that start with the letter Y. So in each of the books, it's yield, but it's a different yield. Yield to understand others
is the why in the play nice in your sandbox at workbook. Yield to others' interests is the why in the at home book. And for those of a faith background in the church book, it's yield to God's will. So again, yield, get out of yourself and pay attention to others. It's not just a nice thing to do. You'll be invited to more parties. You'll be appreciated by more people, and your enjoyment of life will go up. So yield to understand. We talked more about this a little earlier in the Covey, in a previous segment, the Covey Habit 5, seek first to understand, then to be understood. So many conflicts can be prevented. They never have a chance to materialize if we'll just understand each other and what we're trying to accomplish. That brings up another topic. So many conflicts occur because we feel someone is standing between us and something we want, a goal we want to achieve. And so we don't like that. And so we can attack them if we're not careful. By yielding to understand, we might realize that's not what they're doing at all. They have their own objectives. They're not thinking about us at all. So understanding is a huge gift that we can give to others and to ourselves as well. Because if we're showing that we're willing to understand another, they're more likely to be willing to understand us.
Now, Ron, you talked with us earlier about this dynamic of some people being out to get you. And I know some folks in this polarized world in which we find ourselves, they're hearing the word yield as a bad word. And they're thinking, oh, no, we need to assert our rights. You know, we're being trampled down. I mean, there's some legitimacy, for those sentiments in many settings. So help us to put that in a context of not being someone's, punching bag, if you will.
Yeah, I'm going to have to come up with another Y word or change my whole acronym because, David, you're spot on. You're exactly right. I never recommend, hey, just get along with everybody. If you have to sacrifice your values and your principles to get along, then you should do it. I never, never say that because you'll make an enemy in the process, and that enemy will be yourself. You will whoop on yourself mercilessly if you give up the farm, so to speak. I think that's the appropriate cliche. So no, I'm not saying let other people trample on you and just yield and let everybody else have their way. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying yield to understand them. In the at-home book, yes, yield to others' wishes at times. You don't always have to have your way. If you're in a relationship and you're always getting your way, that's not a healthy relationship, in my view. So no, thank you for bringing out that clarification. It is not saying just bend over and say, kick me, or, trample on me, do whatever you want, because I'm supposed to be the nice person here and I'm supposed to yield. No. Yield to understand. Yes, when you can yield to others' wishes, do that.
That is really good advice. I appreciate that. That is so interesting, too. And I think I love Dr. DeRose kind of bringing that up, because that is something that we need to think about and address. And I think in my own life, too, that's important. Yes,
I do as well, David. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to clarify on that. It's a key. And you're right. People were thinking that. So thank you.
So we don't want to lose sight of the acronym. We've been talking about playing nice, and if I'm going to be a good host and Joni's going to be a good host, we're going to play nice with our guest and let him finish his thoughts on this acronym. So the play and the nice, though, were two different aspects to relationships. Did I catch that?
Yes. Yes. The nice is resolve conflict. The play is prevent conflict.
I love that.
So we do want to get to the nice part. But we do have to step away just one more time before we wind up this show. We're talking with Ron Price, the conflict coach. Hopefully by now, if you've been with us from the top of the hour, the website where you can connect with Ron is burned in your memory, simply Ron, R-O-N, Price, P-R-I-C-E, .com, or Ron at ronprice.com. If I got it, Ron at ronprice.com is the way to reach out to him by email. And Ron, you really actually respond to people's emails?
I actually do.
That's impressive. It's not like AI that would get some...
Not yet.
Okay. So Ron at ronprice.com. Joni, Ron, we got to just step away briefly. We're going to come back with a final segment on today's show. We're going to talk about a very important element of relationships. It's encapsulated in the last portion of that mnemonic, play nice. We're looking at the word nice. Stay tuned for that important message. Messages with Ron Price. I'm Dr. DeRose. We'll be right back.
Today's broadcast has been pre-recorded. However, if you have questions about today's show or would like further information, please call 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. We'll be right back after this.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
What is a number story?
My number story started with fear and a lack of support, and it has led me to be there for others.
A number story begins in our childhood with ACEs, adverse childhood experiences.
My number story begins with the separation from my father and the emotional abandonment from my mother, and leads to me being a role model to not only myself, but those around me by becoming the person that wasn't there for me.
ACEs are so common, 2/3 of us have one.
My number story begins with drug abuse and homelessness, and leads to realizing that I can live life by my own standards.
A study found the more ACEs, the more likely we may experience a host of serious health effects, physical and mental, but that doesn't need to be the case. Your ACE number is simply an entry point to your own story. Where it leads is up to you.
My number story begins with years of emotional abuse, and leads to peace, clarity, and security in my self-worth.
Take control of where your number story leads at numberstory.org.
You're listening to Dr. David DeRose on American Indian and Alaska Native Living. Your comments and questions are welcome. Call now at 1-800-775-HOPE. That's 1-800-775-4673. Here again is Dr. DeRose.
Welcome back for our final segment of today's edition of American Indian and Alaska Native Living. I'm Dr. David DeRose, my co-host, Dr. Joni Bakavoy. We're speaking with Ron Price, known as the Conflict Coach at ronprice.com. Joni, bring us up to speed. Where are we at in our dialogue?
So we're talking about the acronyms PLAY and NICE, and we are actually at Y. And so why was really interesting because it's different based on who his audience is. And so there was yield to understand others, yield to others' interest, and then yield to God's will. So three different focuses. But then I thought, Dr. DeRose, you brought up a really good point that we don't want to just be passive and just accept whatever, regardless of our values and our focus. And so you mentioned that it's not that we're going to become doormats. It's really that we're intentionally doing something.
Several years ago, I came across a book called Getting to Yes by Fisher and Urey from the Harvard Negotiation Project. It's a classic in the field. And they talked about how there's two different types of negotiators, hard negotiators and soft negotiators. Hard negotiators, and you know some of these people, they're going to get what they want no matter what it takes. They're going to steamroll, bully, push. They're going to get what they want. Soft negotiators are exactly the opposite. They're people who will. Tell me what you need. I hate conflict. I'll just give it to you. Whatever you need. Both negotiators are successful in that they reach resolution. The hard's not going to leave until they get what they want. The soft is going to give up whatever they have to give up to get resolution. But they've each made an enemy in the process. The enemy of the hard negotiator is the other person. They don't like being bullied and pushed around and taken advantage of. The enemy of the soft negotiator is yourself. Why did I give in? I didn't want to give up that farm again. Why did I do that? So yeah, we are not talking about just being passive, just going along to get along. That is not good advice at all.
Now the clock keeps running and we've got to learn about this nice aspect of things. So Ron, maybe give us a quick overview of nice, and then Joni, you'll help us to hone in on maybe some of the most salient features.
I'm going to pick my favorites for these. The N comes from the at-home book, never threaten the long-term view. Never, that's the N, threaten the long-term view. You know people who have gotten divorced. We all do. And I strongly encourage people, don't ever use that word. There will come times. I have been married 45 years. There have been times over the years where I've been so upset, I have thought, you know what, this is not working. I ought to just leave. Ask me how many times my wife has heard me say that.
Uh-oh.
I'm hoping it's zero.
It is zero.
Good.
I'm so thankful for that. The words have never come out of my mouth. Now, you won't believe this, but chances are she might have thought at times about leaving me.
No way.
Who would think of that?
Impossible, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I don't know that because I've never heard it. Never threaten the long-term view. At that moment, you are so upset. You know what? You are. But if you say it, it sends shockwaves through the other person. Divorce? What? I thought we said till death do we part. What are you talking about? You're going to leave me? Well, maybe I'm going to think about leaving you, and I'm going to stop investing in this relationship. Call a timeout. If we have time, we'll get into that, but you got to do it the right way. Don't threaten divorce. Don't threaten to end the relationship, because you'll get to a place where, you know what, you don't feel that way. Often after just a good night's rest, you won't feel that way. But the damage has been done. You said it. Don't threaten the long-term view. So that's the N in the Play Nice in Your Sandbox at Home book. I want to stay in that book for the I. It's insist on win-win. Insist on win-win. If you're in a relationship, a meaningful relationship, and again, I'm talking about at home, but this could be at work or anywhere. If you value that relationship and you are always getting your way, that's not a healthy relationship. Or in any particular situation, if you come away everything your way and they didn't get anything, chances are they're going to come back at you. I tell a story about these two neighbors in my town who were in and out of court, in and out of court, in and out of court for 4 years over barking dogs, honking horns, throwing trash, cutting vines. They were just menacing each other, and one would take the other to court, and they'd prevail. And so the other would come out and go, okay, you won that round, but the war's not over. They'd create something else so that the other could win. I sat down with them, and after two sessions, I got them to reach a win-win of just, come on, we're both causing this. We can both fix this. And it ended. They stopped going to court. There was peace in that neighborhood. So insist on win-win. Doesn't have to be 50-50. Don't get caught up on that. You know, is 49-51 okay, or 48-52, or 47? 50-50 is a concept that is often not reachable. Can each person leave the negotiation satisfied with the outcome? If yes, that's a win-win.
I love that. So both the in and the I, that really makes me think of resolution, because you said that, you know, that's the resolution part. And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can think of a few places in my own life I need to apply that to. So thank you. So the C and the E.
The C and the E. Let me stay in the at-home book. I haven't done this in a while. I usually, in my seminars and workshops, I draw from the at-work book, but I'm enjoying this at the at-home book. It's a good remembrance for me. It's commitment. Commitment. And a lot of people don't like that word. It's a powerful word. If you're, and again, we're talking at home, so we're talking typically marriage, parenting, family kind of things. There better be a strong commitment that we're in it for the long haul. And there's a researcher named Dr. Scott Stanley from the University of Denver Marriage and Family Studies Department. And he talks about two types of commitment. There's dedication commitment, and there's constraint commitment. And let me just wax on these eloquently for a moment or two. Dedication commitment is the good one. you know what? I'm happy with you. I love you. I'm getting my needs met. I enjoy meeting your needs. I am committed to you. I'm committed to our relationship. I'm not looking to go anywhere else. I'm not thinking about going anywhere else. I am committed to you and our relationship. That's dedication commitment. Constraint commitment is, you know what? I'm not really happy right now. I don't like the way things are going. And I'm starting to think maybe I could do better somewhere else. Maybe I'm better off leaving. But then the constraints of, oh, then we got to bring in lawyers, and what would that cost? And what would it do to the kids? And what would family say? And all these constraints that keep us in the relationship long enough until we can get back to the dedication form of commitment. Commitment is crucial for significant relationships.
I am so glad you brought up the dedication and the constraint, because I think sometimes you're right. Commitment sounds like a great word, but what if you're doing it for all the wrong reasons? Then it kind of refutes what you're doing anyway.
Yeah, but even, Joni, even if you're doing it, well, for the wrong reasons, yeah, do it for the right reasons. That's true. Yeah, that's true.
So we got to get to the E. We've got play nice, N-I-C-E. That's where we gotta get, Ron. Are you gonna help us land this plane?
I am. Let's stay in the at-home book. And again, I want to point this out. 100% of what I write about in Play Nice in Your Sandbox at Work is applicable at home, a church, anywhere, because relationships are relationships. Now, home, no, that's a little bit more specialized. So about 80% of what I write about in Play Nice in Your Sandbox at Home, you'll find applicable in other relationships. And church, again, is a specialized relationship. Probably 60% of what I write about there, though, applies. So in the at-home book, the E is emotions matter. And we talked about, I've said earlier, some things I know about you. I know you want to be understood and things of that nature. Here's another one I know about you. And let's be careful with this. But for everyone listening in the audience, chances are you were hurt when you were young. And again, we're not going to get into it very deeply right here. But what we don't understand is the emotional trauma from our past can impact our present day relationships. And if we're not careful, we can take it out on those in our present life for hurts that were caused by people in our past. And we need to be aware of that. And again, there are ways to do that, but we sometimes don't understand how the emotional trauma that we all experienced at various levels, some worse than others, but every one of us experienced, we got to be careful that we don't let that negatively impact our present day relationships.
Thank you for that. That is really interesting. And I think that's such a good reminder, because you're right. All of us have something from our past that influences the way our emotions are now. So that's a really good reminder. I appreciate that. Now we got the whole thing, play nice. And I thought that was interesting that they're different perspectives at home, at work, and then with the faith community.
Well, so we have gotten a wealth of information from you, Ron. I so appreciate you pulling away. I know Joni does as well. And I'm looking forward to hearing some great things from folks who engage with your materials at your website. Joni, you've jotted that down. What's the best website to use for Ron?
So it's ronprice.com, ronprice.com.
Thank you, Ron, so much for joining Dr. Joni Bakavoy and me for today's broadcast.
You know, you folks made it so easy. I'm serious. Thank you both.
Well, and most of all, thank you to each one of our listeners for joining us on today's edition of the broadcast. As always, I'm Dr. David DeRose wishing you the very best of health.
Native Voice One. The Native American Radio Network.